Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and just a quick announcement before I forget. If you missed my webinar on A Course in Mindfulness, Mindfulness Meditation for Miracle Workers, it is saved on my, it's recorded and posted on my YouTube channel, or you can go to acimindfulness.com, and I have it embedded on that page, too. I just opened registration for my very first four-week mindfulness meditation course for students of A Course in Miracles, so I'm really excited about it. Yay! Thank you. I'm so excited. All right, so let's drop in to this moment. And turning our awareness within. Noting that there'll be sounds around us, thoughts coming through our mind. Our task is simply to notice when our mind drifts and choose to gently redirect it back to the love within. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge tonight, trusting that we will share what we need to share, hear what we need to hear, and read what we need to read. So with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. So we are picking up where we left off last week. We are on page 334 of the Sparkle Edition. So it's the very last full paragraph, I'm sorry, the last paragraph on page 334 in the Sparkle Edition. The sentence is, "You cannot see alone." That's how the paragraph begins. In the original edition, we're in chapter 14, part 4, paragraph 31. And again, it begins with the sentence, "You cannot see alone." And last but not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, we are in Chapter 14, Part 7, Paragraph 7, Sentence Number 2. So this edition, we're starting mid-paragraph. Alrighty, here we go. You cannot see alone. Sharing perception with Him whom God has given you teaches you how to recognize what you see. It is the recognition that nothing you see means anything alone. Seeing with Him will show you that all meaning, including yours, comes not from double vision, but from the gentle fusing of everything into one meaning, one emotion, and one purpose. God has one purpose which He shares with you. The single vision which the Holy Spirit offers you will bring this oneness to your mind with clarity and brightness so intense you could not wish for all the world not to accept what God would have you have. Behold your will, accepting it as His, with all His love as yours. All honor to you through Him, and through Him unto God. Beautiful. I love how it just starts out with saying you can't see alone. Sharing perception with the Holy Spirit whom God has given you teaches you how to recognize what you see. So again, it's everything that we share with the Holy Spirit is reinterpreting for us. So rather than have it be used as a means of separation and strengthening the ego, whatever we are perceiving now becomes used on behalf of the Holy Spirit, who's preserving only the love within, only the truth, and helping us to truly recognize what we see. So seeing the love in our brothers, seeing with a different kind of vision. So again, we're not talking about the body's eyes here. So I feel like that sort of just captures it. And I really like the next sentence, too, where it says, it is the recognition that nothing you see means anything alone. So when we're looking at anything alone, it's going to be meaningless because we're seeing apart from truth, from our source. It's when we are looking with spirit that that's when the meaning comes through. I feel like I could keep rambling. Just with the next sentence, then too. Seeing with him will show you that all meaning, including yours, comes not from double vision, but from the gentle fusing of everything into one meaning, one emotion, and one purpose. So again, there's just one will. God's will is our will. Our will is nothing separate from that. And God's will is not foreign to our own. Sometimes that can feel like it's something very much different than our own will or something outside of us. But God's will actually is our will. Any comments or questions so far? Okay, let's take the next paragraph. In the darkness you have obscured the glory God gave you and the power he bestowed upon his guiltless son. All this lies hidden in every darkened place, shrouded in guilt, and in the dark denial of innocence. Behind the dark doors which you have closed lies nothing, because nothing can obscure the gift of God. It is the closing of the doors that interferes with recognition of the power of God that shines in you. Banish not power from your mind, but let all that would hide your glory be brought to the judgment of the Holy Spirit and there undone. Whom he would save for glory is saved for it. He has promised the Father that through him you would be released from littleness to glory. To what he promised God, he is wholly faithful, for he shared with God the promise that was given him to share with you. So again, the Holy Spirit is our bridge. The Holy Spirit's our bridge to remembering who we truly are. And I really like, too, how it says that, let me see, it was about nothing. Behind the dark doors which you have closed lies nothing, because nothing can obscure the gift of God. And so all that is, again, that's our turning away from our source and just looking into nothingness and projecting things that we think we see but actually aren't there. And we become so preoccupied with them and mesmerized with them that we have just sort of blotted out the truth, the gift of God, as it's saying. Anything coming up for anybody so far? I don't have a chicken in my room today, but I have children screaming outside my house, so I don't know if anybody can hear that tonight. Hopefully it's quiet through the line, but I'm digressing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is related. I think I wrote this down at last class, like in big, giant letters. I have, you can't do it alone, give it to the Holy Spirit, like
yes.
Giant letters.
Yeah.
And I was, and for some reason, while you were reading that, I was thinking, and I was like, for me personally, it's a lot easier to do that with like big stuff, but it's like the little things that like really annoy me, you know? And that it's very hard. Like I get an email that is not really a big deal, but that will annoy me. And then if I have to go deal with something catastrophic, I have no problem giving that up. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't know why that came up while you were reading.
I'm so glad that you shared that, because that's such a really powerful example of just, you know, with the big stuff. I just love how you said that, the big stuff, it feels easy. It's the small stuff. And really, you know, it's the small stuff day to day that does those little feelings of anger, frustration, judgment, annoyances, whatever that is, it's all that minutia is everything also that we can, you know, look at with the Holy Spirit. And so if it feels harder there, that's okay. It's just, again, about coming back to that tiny bit of willingness when you remember. So even if you notice that willingness way after the fact, to say, oh, you know, all that little bitty stuff, okay, I'm willing now to see that differently. And eventually it starts to catch up where it starts to happen, you know, in the moment too. But I think you're hitting on an important point about all the little stuff.
You know, it's almost like when something really gets you stirred up, it's almost like you go and have amnesia or something.
It is. That's the veil dropping back down.
It really
is.
I was with a Course in Miracles facilitator this weekend, and we got into a conversation off of the course. And honestly, it was like, and now I see, I mean, it's just a whole lot of nothing, but we both really got into it, like it was something. And it's funny because while we were in this drama conversation, it just seemed, yeah, we're right about this.
Right.
And today, I was just throughout the day, I had a nice day, so I was more relaxed and everything. And I just thought to myself, we were upset about absolutely nothing. It's a
beautiful.
Whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, that's a beautiful recognition to see that, you know, after the fact. Again, it doesn't matter. There's no past and no future. If you're remembering something now and, you know, suddenly having that openness about it, you know, if it was something in the past, it doesn't matter when that happened. That miracle is now. That shift happens now. So,
but this is
awesome.
Exactly what this paragraph is saying.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah.
It is nothing.
It is nothing. It is nothing. And that's like the little stuff. I've used this example before, but I just have like such this funny image in my mind of like when we get hooked by those little things. That's us. We sit up on the railing of the spiral staircase and we just go, wee, and like spiral right down because we picked, you know, that one ego thought to hang on to, and then we don't see how quickly we just like slip down into it. But it only takes, it doesn't mean then we have to climb all the stairs. It's literally just that moment of recognition of like, oh, I can choose again. And then suddenly, you know, we're above the staircase again, you know, where we're not all the way at the bottom.
That's amazing. That's it.
Yeah, and I've heard you say before on the calls too, Corinne, when we're talking about little and big, there is no little and big.
Yeah,
it's
right.
All the same. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all the same choice.
Yeah. It is, and some of the things that are little, though, like seem, I mean, judging it next to something else maybe seems little, but you're absolutely right, DJ, that there is no little, there is no big. It's all either fear or it's love. It's all either judgment or it's, you know, turning to the Holy Spirit. And, yeah, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That is perfect.
So what's the trick now to catch yourself before you start sliding down the stairway? How are you going to catch yourself?
I don't think you have to worry about that. I think the more you work with this material, it's just exactly what Corinne just said. You go for that ride, but you get back up so much quicker, so much, it's so much easier. It's just really sticking with, you know, the material. Just,
you know, my mom used to write her lesson on a Band-Aid and stick it on her hand.
Yeah.
Just to have, like, you know, the actual reminder throughout the day.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
that
if there
is
really
good.
Are like little things that you feel you need to do for yourself to remind yourself, like a Band-Aid on your hand with, you know, your little lesson written on it, or like something on your computer screen, wherever it is that you know that you get hooked. But like Paul is saying, it's absolutely right. It doesn't matter, because the moment we remember to turn to the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, it's that page 90 in FIP, the Holy Spirit will undo the consequences of our wrong decision if we'll let him, instantaneously. So if we find ourselves beating ourselves up for, oh, there I did it again, like I'm no good, like there I went with judgment, that's just the ego again taking hold and like beating you down the stairs, like pushing you down that railing. And so not even, you know, choosing to even just not judge, like, oh, there, I judged again. Okay, now I'm willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit.
And sometimes you get more clarity from taking that ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when you get back in alignment, you come back with clarity that you wouldn't have had you not taken that down
roll.
And
there's the contrast. There's the contrast.
Yeah.
There's the contrast that we need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The contrast is how we learn what makes us happy and what makes us not happy.
Because really, without the contrast, how the hell are you supposed to know?
Right.
I've had plenty of contrast, believe me.
Yeah, I really think that in those moments where you do slide down the staircase, it's just being loving of, like, being willing to let yourself slide down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then giving it to spirit and saying, okay, give me another way to see this.
Mm-hmm. That's where the quote, would you not go through fear to love, comes in. Would you not let yourself go through your lessons to learn them, to give yourself the chance to learn them because you are going to love? Would you not go through fear to love? I love that quote. That was so comforting to me when I was just in the depths of, like, anxiety, despair, because, you know, I remember my mom would always repeat that to me, and I'd just be like, yep, all right, I'm going through fear, and I know I'm going to get through this. I know I'm going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, one thing that comes to mind for me, I think this was said a few classes ago, but there was I don't know if it was Mercury retrograde or what was going on, but I had a week that was like, I was not feeling good, right? And I remembered something that was said in a class, and I kept trying to push through it, and I kept remembering, I don't know who said it in a class, but it was something along the lines that if you try and push and you try to achieve instead of just, like, letting it happen, then it's coming from the ego. Am I right in assuming that? Did I butcher that?
No, you said it perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
Beautifully.
Okay, so that's what I was thinking when I was going down a spiral a couple weeks ago and I kept trying to fight it. I remember someone in this class saying, like, if you try and fight it and if you try and achieve, like, that's coming from the place of the ego. Just let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I felt better.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that comes to mind, too, that's also important to keep in mind, and this is like, it's almost, how do I say this, almost that balance between letting yourself go through your lessons, being where you're at, and the vigilance that the Course talks about, because it is important that we let ourselves be where we're at and go through our lessons and just, like, let it all unfold and be where we're at. When we feel up for it, though, if we feel that level of willingness, the Course also talks about, you know, vigilance too, with being vigilant and turning to the Holy Spirit. So again, our lessons are always going to be very individualized to ourselves in the moment, and so doing, you know, whatever feels right is the way to go.
Isn't there too, so I'm missing the exact wording, Corinne, but there's a couple of spots in the Course where it talks about turning to God like 1,000 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember that, like, it makes me feel better anyway, that you can't turn, there's nothing you can't go to spirit with, and
right.
That's how, you know, the expectation is that we call upon spirit constantly, so there's no such thing as doing it too much.
Right. Yeah, beautiful.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I can't think of where it says that about 1,000 times in the day, but
I think it's one of the workbook lessons, actually. Yeah.
I think that's so reassuring, because sometimes there are things that'll happen where I almost feel like, oh no, Holy Spirit wouldn't need, you know, oh, this is too much. This is, how could I possibly ask for help with this? You know, and that's background. I mean, that's a thought that's playing in the back of my head. So as soon as I'm consciously aware of that kind of thinking, it's like, oh, Holy Spirit, take this.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Let's read another paragraph. Okay. He shares it still for you. I just want to read the last sentence of the prior paragraph because it sounds like it relates to what he promised God. He is wholly faithful, for he shared with God the promise that was given him to share with you. He shares it still for you. Everything that promises otherwise, great or small, however much or little valued, he will replace with the one promise given unto him to lay upon the altar to your Father and his Son. No altar stands to God without his Son, and nothing brought there that is not equally worthy of both, but will be replaced by gifts wholly acceptable to Father and to Son. Can you offer guilt to God? You cannot then offer it to His Son, for they are not apart, and gifts to one are offered to the other. Interesting. So that just makes me think about, you know, when we offer judgment or guilt or condemnation or whatever it may be in the millions of forms to our brother, that's shutting off our spiritual eye, that's shutting off, you know, our awareness of the truth, because we can't, whatever we're offering to our brothers is what we're offering to God, which obviously God doesn't know any of those things, and so of course it's going to just keep that communication channel blocked. Let's read the next paragraph as well. You know not God because you know not this, and yet you do know God and also this. All this is safe within you where the Holy Spirit shines. He shines not in division, but in the meeting place where God, united with His Son, speaks to His Son through Him. Communication between what cannot be divided cannot cease. The holy meeting place of the unseparated Father and His Son lies in the Holy Spirit and in you. All interference in the communication that God Himself wills with His Son is quite impossible here. Unbroken and uninterrupted love flows constantly between the Father and the Son, as both would have it be, and so it is.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful? That calls to mind for me how nothing has happened. You know, we think there's this big thing of separation that needs to be overcome, and we need to get all these, you know, icky thoughts out of our mind. We haven't changed a thing. We're already healed, already home, and already whole. And it's just that we have to remember that. That's it. I love how it says that, where was it sentence? Communication between what cannot be divided cannot cease. So if God and His Son cannot be divided, it cannot cease. That communication has not stopped. I love that.
So anything, so even the worst crime that was ever committed, it's nothing.
It's a dream. It's a bad dream. That's all it is. Forgiveness is, I said this last week on the call, that my friend Craig Villarubia put together, he's doing a movie, a documentary about A Course in Miracles, and did an animated, you know, what is A Course in Miracles thing, and he said so succinctly that forgiveness is about recognizing that what you see hasn't happened.
Is that online, Corinne?
That is online.
Okay.
I'm sure if you go to his, I shared it on my Facebook page, and both my Facebook pages, my personal one and the author page. It's I love it. It's really good. So yes, Paula, you're right. That's all.
Unbroken and uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
What we were just talking about in that last paragraph reminds me of the lesson a few days ago, the there is no death, the Son of God is free. And it talks in there, in the description of the workbook lesson, it talks about how anger, fear, guilt, anxiety, depression, all of these things that we think happen are really just witnesses for the idea of death. And every time I read that, I'm just blown away because it's so true.
Yeah, that's I love that. What lesson was that again?
There is no death, the Son of God is free. I can't remember the number, but
yeah,
it was a few days ago.
That has been so helpful to me and so powerful, and thank you so much for bringing that up, because that sentence that you said, it's just witnesses for the idea of death.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's where, you know, that prayer that we've talked about before, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me, if we're seeing that witness for the idea of death, we are misperceiving, period. And so it becomes about taking, you know, that belief in what we see and asking for the Holy Spirit to give us the miracle instead.
Which prayer is that?
This is the whole thing. Now, I could see if I can find it really quick. It's take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate its coming, to facilitate peace's coming.
That's a good one.
It's a really good one. Let me see if I can find it really quick. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, that's just the window that I have open, it is in chapter 19, part C, and then part I, under the incorruptible body. It's at the very end.
Ooh, I found it. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Beautiful. Anything else come up for anybody so far as we've been reading? Let's read the next paragraph. Let your minds wander not through darkened corridors away from light center. You may choose to lead yourselves astray, but you can only be brought together by the guide appointed for you. He will surely lead you to where God and his Son await your recognition. They are joined in giving you the gift of oneness before which all separation vanishes. Unite with what you are. You cannot join with anything except reality. God's glory and his Son's belong to you in truth. They have no opposite, and nothing else can you bestow upon yourselves. This, again, was a really comforting paragraph to me. Let your minds wander not through darkened corridors away from light center. We might choose to go astray, but we can only be brought together by the guide appointed for you, the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. our inner guide, our translator, who translates our false perceptions into, I should say reinterprets, maybe reinterpreter, translator, I guess that works too, who preserves only the love that's there, and that's what we get back. So this also, what comes up for me too in this paragraph is how, and this is where our ego can kind of start to freak out a little bit, that the Course isn't about making a better world, it's about waking up from the world, meaning recognizing that this is not our home, this is not our truth, and we're actually not at home here. So it can be really tempting, you know, the ego wants to make this a better place, but the Course is leading us out of the world. And, you know, notice if that brings up anything for anybody, because that terrified me for a long time. We've talked about that before, how I came to learn that this is a very, very, very gentle process, and that, in a sense, the world is transformed as you are transformed, as we learn to see it differently.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Corinne, because when I first started studying the Course, the Course would talk about no bodies, which I thought that eventually I would stop seeing, you know, the three-dimensional form. I know that sounds funny, but I really thought that that's what the Course was talking about. But now that I've been studying a few years, I understand now, especially from help from like Lisa Natoli and you and David, that it's really about looking beyond the form. It's not that anything changes outwardly. It's more an inward change.
And I do believe that the Course talks about the levels and levels of healing. I think we're kind of at like the bottom muck level here in this world. And as we grow back to God, that growth continues even after, you know, we no longer perceive this, you know, physical level. And I just have come to just feel like I don't know if that's a belief or a knowing or what it is, but just through the course, through reading, you know, the near-death experiences, we talked about Eben Alexander's experience so much, and I think of his experience in particular of still, even though he was out of his body, perceiving other, you know, individuals, and but that there were higher realms also. The book The Afterlife of Billy Fingers was another awesome near-death experience. Well, it wasn't a near-death experience. That this woman's brother actually died, but she still communicates with him. And so hearing his descriptions of, you know, the different levels too. So it's such a gradual, gentle, gentle, kind process. And it's a process that, you know, only happens because we when we want it. So that's very comforting to me. Anything else coming up for anybody so far? Any insights, questions, comments, examples? This is sort of the, I don't know, I feel like we're kind of in the more abstract reading in a sense.
Hey, family.
Hey, Carla.
Hey, Carla.
Hey. Okay, now I was driving and listening and such, and I had the opportunity today to go to the church, pretty much the church of origin for me, to hear one of my friends who's a pastor speak. And while I was there, I saw someone that I used to be pretty close to, and the reason why we're not close anymore is that I lent her a book. It was someone that I had met in graduate school, and I lent her a book, and she was using it to take a state exam. So, and I gave it to her pretty much new, and she said to me, well, I will make sure I give it back to you in the same condition. And then she showed it to me a month or so later, because she had it for months, a few months, and she showed it to me, and it was really tattered and just really looked like it had been used and maybe coffee was spilled on it. And she said, don't worry about this. She said, I'm going to give you your money back for the book. And I'm like, well, all right, cool, you know. So it was only $50, but still, it was my money. Anywho, so when everything was over and she had taken the exam and everything, I think I had asked, I said, well, I guess you must be finished with the book or something to that effect. And I was asking her for the book back or whatever she was going to do. She was like, well, I don't have that book. And I said, well, all right, well, you said you would reimburse me, so that's fine. I did, you know, so she basically was acting as if she had not said that, or that she was insulted that I had suggested it or what have you. But in either way, it was not the kind of response that I was hoping for or actually expected, considering what she said. And to this day, she has never given me my book back or mentioned it again. And there would be times when we wouldn't talk for a while and she would send me an email or text and say, hey, what's going on? Like, I'm hurt you haven't reached out to me. But over the few years since graduate school, she has not done that, which tells me that, you know, she feels guilty about that. And today I realized that I wasn't over it. As I saw her in church, you know, she gave me a hug and everything, but I could feel my attack thoughts, and all minds are joined, so I know she felt that. And, you know, I have not said anything to her about that since, but maybe it might do well for me to take that to Holy Spirit and ask for the correct way to see this and how to go about it. But I find myself still feeling angry, and it's okay, you know, to feel however it is that I feel, because at least I was still willing to take it to the truth. So maybe it was designed by my ego to make me make real the separation I think that I am from God. And it isn't, but it sure feels real. It feels like somebody owes me $50, you know, and I don't see another way how to look at that yet. And I'm seriously contemplating, like, what is the best way for me to handle this so that I would have some peace? Because I'm already clear that I don't want to be friends with anybody like that, because that's not peaceful to me. If I'm saying something like that and not following through and then getting an attitude, I'm like, that's not very friend-like behavior. So I don't really want to put up with that in my experience these days. That shit is just not working for me these days. So I'm really cool with us not being in each other's experience. But I guess I just at least wanted some acknowledgement. Like, I gave the book to her in good faith and just trusted that she would keep her word. And she didn't. There's times I haven't kept my word either. So perhaps, I mean, I could take a look at whether I should be forgiven for, you know, my own transgressions, I suppose. But I'm certainly willing to take a look at it. But I just, you know, recognize that's a trigger for me. I don't like it. And I'm making myself not like her. And I'm quite okay with us not being friends. But she's still deserving of everything that God says that we're all deserving of. I want my damn $50 back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. I love your honesty and your just willingness to just be where you're at. Like, that's absolutely beautiful. And I think it's wonderful, too, that you said, you know, maybe I should look at this with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's a beautiful thing to do, too, because it, the memory of it, you know, the whole, you said you noticed the attack thoughts, like, just being aware of that is beautiful. And then if you do have that willingness to take that next step to give it to the Holy Spirit, I know you want peace. And, you know,
when you hold tight, though, to the Holy Spirit, because I just had that experience with my neighbor, and I'll tell you, I was mad as hell because she wasn't mowing her lawn, and I got a hay field next to me. And I kept taking it to the Holy Spirit. And, Carla, I feel the same as you. I don't have to hang out with her, you know. I'm still not keen on her, but I feel exactly the way you do. God loves her. God wants to help her, all of that. But I kept taking that situation to the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I had such a miracle take place.
Shared, Paula, last week. I absolutely loved that story.
It was amazing. It was amazing because I had people that I told her, she asked for help, and I said, I'll help you. I'll see if I can get somebody to come over here and give you an estimate. And I called this guy, and he and his wife came over and gave me an estimate to give to her, but said, this is what we would charge, but there's no way we're even going to do this, and we don't know anybody who would come here and deal with this situation because it's dangerous. There's crap all over her lawn. Somebody will get hurt. I didn't call her. I didn't do anything. I just kept taking it to the Holy Spirit. I did feel like this is hopeless, but that's the ego. I came home from work the next day, and that lawn was perfect. Not only was it mowed, it was edged. All the crap was gone.
I love it. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and with Carla, with just everything that you shared, it made me think, too, that, you know, when we turn to the Holy Spirit, even if it's just for the tiniest little instant, those experiences of rising above the battleground, getting lifted above the battleground, when we're in it, we can't necessarily see the way out, whether, you know, well, maybe that person can apologize to me and that'll make it better, or, you know, I'm just going to take the higher road and forget about it. That's all, like, you know, left or right, down when you're in the battleground trying to work it out. By turning to the Holy Spirit and creating that space in our mind for just a moment to let something else flow in, that's when we can have that experience of being lifted above the battleground, and the solution that comes, typically we were not expecting it, or things just fall into place and work out beautifully. Just, Paul, like the example that you just shared, we've talked, you know, about a lot of different examples like this where those shifts come that we don't expect. So, so yeah, if you have
it
that.
It gives you hope.
What's that?
It gives you hope.
Oh, it sure does. And it builds
your
trust.
It's the most amazing.
And it builds your trust. Yep. Because we have those little experiences that show us that we are not alone, that there is something to this. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
I love that, Carla.
Me too.
I love her.
Awesome. Y'all do.
I know. I mean, we get mad as hell.
You know, what also, now that this just popped into my mind too, and I'll just throw it out there. I wrote a blog post a while ago about, would you rather have $10 million or the peace of God? It's one or the other. And if we get really, really honest, right now in this moment, what would you rather have? And that's a pretty good test just to like kind of see where we're at. Like, you know, but I pick the $10 million right now. Maybe, like, I'm kind of still enjoying being Corinne, and that sounds like it could be kind of fun, and, you know, I could dilly-dally a little bit more before I'll finally then, you know, choose the peace of God. But, so that just, I thought I'd just throw that out there, because it was a fun little sort of self-test that I would do, and there have been moments when I felt like, no, I want the peace of God. All righty, wonderful. Let's read the next paragraph. There is no substitute for truth, and truth will make this plain to you as you are brought into the place where you must meet with truth. And there you must be led through gentle understanding, which can lead you nowhere else. Where God is, there are you. Such is the truth. Nothing can change the knowledge given you by God into unknowingness. Everything God created knows its creator. For this is how creation is accomplished by the Creator and by His creations. In the holy meeting place are joined the Father and His creations and the creations of His Son with them together. There is one link which joins them all together, holding them in the oneness out of which creation happens. So this, again, I think is you know, speaking on another level that we don't quite comprehend with. We've talked about our creations before and how just as God has extended himself, itself, and we are all part of God, we are all part of God's creations, we've allowed that extension of love to continue through us, and we have those creations as well. So, that came to mind for me as we were reading this. It was talking about creations. I like this too. There is no substitute for truth, and truth will make this plain to you as you are brought into the place where you must meet with truth. And there you must be led through gentle understanding, which can lead you nowhere else. So we can't get this wrong. We're on our paths, and there's nowhere else to go except home, to learn home. And that's just so reassuring to know that, you know, we don't have to worry about it. We can't get this wrong. We're going to all make it. We're going to all graduate as Course in Miracles students. Ultimately not needing the course anymore, of course. All right, let's read the last paragraph of this section. The link with which the Father joins himself to those he gives the power to create like him can never be dissolved. Heaven itself is union with all of creation and with its one creator. And heaven remains the will of God for you. Lay no gifts other than this upon your altars, for nothing can coexist beside it. Here your meager offerings are brought together with the gift of God, and only what is worthy of the Father will be accepted by the Son, for whom it was intended. To whom God gives himself, he is given. Your little gifts will vanish on the altar where he has placed his own. meaning, every loving thought that we've ever had, everything that, you know, we offer to the Holy Spirit, only the love gets preserved, and that lasts forever, forever and ever. So all of our loving thoughts are always saved for us. They're always, they're eternal. They are always. Beautiful. So does anybody, we're at the end of the section here. Anything come up for anyone while we were reading?
I was thinking about the vigilance versus surrender that we mentioned earlier. And I know that we were also talking a few paragraphs ago about us trying to, the word is not escape, but like see the world differently. You know what I mean? Like we're not of this world. I feel like escape is the wrong word, but and I'm here thinking, and because the thinking of the Course is not the thinking of the world, and it goes back to that balance, like you have to respect where you're at. So there are some days when you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to let the thinking of the world take over because that's where I'm at, you know. But at the same time, how do you balance that, you know, with the vigilance, because you're aware that it's the thinking of the world taking over, and you just, I don't know, do you just not have the chutzpah to do it that day? Like,
that's
how much pain
question.
Do you want?
Yeah.
That's the question you want to ask yourself.
That's a good
how
question.
How much pain can you tolerate, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to come down to that.
Yeah, yeah. That I mean, that is true, because, you know, as we choose for the ego, that, as we know, just brings some form of pain with it, whether it's subtle or, you know, sometimes not so subtle. Anybody on the call does anybody have anything to share in regards to that question about the balance between vigilance versus being where you're at? Because I know for me, it almost is sort of both. Like, it's hard. I think it's so individualized. In any given moment, it's about checking in, and if there's a tiny bit of willingness there, you know, to turn to the Holy Spirit, doing so. If the one of the Course quotes that comes to mind is that if resistance is strong and dedication weak, don't fight yourself. So just, you know, go through it, be where you're at. So that's sort of a gauge, you know, if dedication is weak, and if I'm now even just blanking on the first part of the sentence that I just said. If you're feeling like that's, you know, a place where it's like you're fighting yourself, I guess that's what it comes down to. If it feels like a fight to turn to the Holy Spirit, be where you're at. This isn't about, you know, fighting the ego to get anywhere. What's that?
Hurry up. Okay.
Oh, whoever just joined us.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry,
I thought
that.
You wanted to share something. You're welcome. No, you're welcome to share. I just didn't know if you had anything you wanted to say. And if you need to mute yourself, you can always press *6 and then unmute yourself with the same. But welcome. So I think that is maybe the thing to hone in on. If you feel like you're gonna be fighting yourself, if it's going to be a struggle to turn to the Holy Spirit, let yourself, you know, just be where you're at, because it gets easier to turn to the Holy Spirit as we work this. Does that help, Amanda?
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was thinking. So I was like, how do you gauge between, you know, being strong and just surrendering, you know?
Right.
I don't know if this is helpful, but I don't actually try to gauge either one. What I do is I constantly check in with Holy Spirit about where I'm at. That's what I do. And because I feel like Spirit is already vigilant for me, and just that act is enough.
Oh, Gigi, that's beautiful. That's
yeah.
beautiful. And I think you're hitting on a really key point to what you just said, that the Holy Spirit is vigilant for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful, because it, again, brings it back to our job is so easy.
Well,
it's
because
just a turn to the Holy Spirit.
The vigilance part, it just can be so exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how it is for you guys, but that perpetual voice, you know, if it's negative, it just, it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So giving it over is definite. Oh.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking is, you know, sometimes it's not even your own. Sometimes
no, that's
it's like
what I mean, yeah.
Around you, and it's exhausting to try and, like, yeah.
Well, it's again, too, like, when we're talking about balancing the two, it's like we're trying to measure, and that's not my job, because I don't know when I'm doing well and when I'm not.
mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, that's so important.
One other thing I think is to just when we, or at least I find for myself when I get really into this ego drama, it's just getting out and taking a walk or getting by the ocean or getting into, you know, doing something that makes me happy. It helps to shift out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You guys
and
are
Didi,
good at
thank
this.
Thank you for that. That was perfect. Brian, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, just that everyone, they're all so good at it. You know, talking it through, because that voice can be so insistent. You know,
yeah.
Oh, over and over and over. Give me a break.
It sure can, and we all know it well. And this is why we all show up here, because we're strengthening these ideas for each other. You know, by studying this and talking it through, we're literally helping strengthen these ideas in one another's mind.
Mm.
And so,
thank you.
Thank you.
Mm.
Thank you.
Deep breath.
Oh, beautiful. Anybody have anything else? We're not going to do any more readings since we're almost at the top of the hour. So anything else that's present for anyone or that's come up for you that you would like to share to feel complete tonight?
I don't know why, but all I can think of is pet your cat. My cats make me so happy, I'm telling you.
Or your chicken.
Or your dog.
Or your chickens. Oh, my God.
Or your dog, yes.
Do something silly.
We don't have to take this so seriously. That's, I think,
that's
another
right.
key thing, is to remember that we don't have to take this so seriously. It's actually
just,
a big joke.
I'm in gratitude because I haven't made this call in a few weeks, and it just feels great to hear everybody. So thank you.
Doesn't it?
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Carol made an awesome chocolate cake that I took to a repast today. Thank you, Carol.
Yeah.
It was delicious. Eat a piece of chocolate cake. That'll do it.
There you go. Awesome. All right, everybody. Beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for showing up. And we will resume where we left off next week. I love you all.
Have a great
you.
Week.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.